Hi, this is Matthew van der Giesen. Welcome to the Somatic Practice Podcast. Today, we're doing another excerpt from the Embodiment Project, the online training that I do that helps people move more into their body in everyday life. Enjoy. Turn your attention to where you and your body are at this moment, noticing what the sensations are that tell you that you exist in that field of awareness where spaces internally tell you something about the shape that your body, your organism is taking up, and how much of that space you are aware of. Sometimes our sense of our bodies can be quite vague. Embodiment facilitator Mark Walsh asks the question, are you using your body as just a brain taxi? And sometimes our body awareness can feel very ephemeral. We don't get a lot of information unless the experience is quite intense, say when something goes wrong. And so as you explore your sensory landscape, you might notice parts that are not as defined or a little more transparent to your awareness. Try turning your attention now to surfaces. How does your organism locate itself because of the surfaces it comes in contact with? And to get even more specific, what is it like to look for the exact shape of that contact, the quality of it? That one foot or one leg might have a difference in its pattern of contact to the other, a level of connection that's different. What do those surfaces tell you about the way in which you're positioned? If perhaps you're in a chair, what are the contact parts of how you sit? The contact with your back. If you're lying down, how do your shoulders and arms and head find surfaces of connection? And finally, what's it like to bring your curiosity to how you know that you're breathing? Where does your breathing exist within your awareness at this moment? What sensations tell you that your breathing is there? And how does it respond to the act of noticing it? Now, what I'd like you to do is something I usually bring in at the end of a practice. But let's see what it's like for you to expand your attention, noticing the space around you, outside your body. And as you expand that attention, see if it has any effect on your sensory awareness of your organism internally, of your embodied space. Is there a shift in what your breathing wants to do? Is there a shift in your awareness of tension patterns or posture as you open your awareness more to the external world? Notice the external space around you, through the front, where most of our physical senses are, above and behind you. How much do you maintain awareness of all those sensations of your self-identity when you open up your awareness externally to the world? Perhaps some of your internal awarenesses are diminished, while other parts of your self-awareness are emphasized. How much are you able to be in yourself, in the sensations of your being and your identity? And how much can you be both in yourself and in the world? Now, from that place of expanded awareness, gradually begin to bring your awareness back inwards into your body. And what you experience as you follow your intention of slowly turning your awareness more fully into the physicality or the sensations of your organic being, of your organism, will shift into your primarily sensing how you are within your skin. What's it like to revisit this inward sensing place? Does it shift in the intensity of sensory coloration or vividness when you bring your attention more in? Does it change the shaping of your awareness of yourself? Does it change your awareness of the external world? As you sit in this place of internal sensory focus, I'm going to introduce an image. It goes like this. What would it be like to be looking out over a field in late summer? The grass is long, the wind is blowing across it. You can see the shape of the wind just by how it moves the grasses, slightly bowed over in some places as if they were waves, the fluid movement of the grass speaking the language of that interaction between grass and wind. But as you look closer, you can see that some of those grasses are already losing the green of summer, that they are not plump and full of water, and so they don't have the same capacity to move in fluid response to the wind. Somehow, there's a sense of standing out from the dance that they show. In his book, The Spell of the Sensuous, David Abram writes about his research into how different peoples understand their interaction with nature. The shamans that he met would often live on the edges of the village, on the outside of the society that they served. And from this perspective, they could watch where the dissonances were, where the grasses that were the peoples of the village were not flowing in a dance with how nature was moving around them. And the places where that wasn't happening were the places where either in an individual or in the community as a whole, there was some discord. In an individual, it might show up as a physical or mental illness, some drying of the plumpness and greenness of being. And in a community, there might be a disconnection or discordance between themselves and the world. The job of the shaman was to help the individual and community to find what they needed to do to re-enter into that dance again, to listen for what was needed, and to re-establish that sense of response to this moment, just as the grasses might move in response to the wind. Now, this dance is not a one-way thing, for as the grasses move, they're also affecting how the wind flows. And so as people move in relationship to the world around them, there is a cause and effect, a conversation that happens. But it's a conversation that comes from being a participant in the dance, to ask, how do I need to be with this? In this work, the dance starts with exploring how you are in your own space. And from that place, we have a chance to hear better through the sounding board of our own being, how we need to be. Whether you are sitting in stillness or moving through life, while the interactive dance recognizes the world around you, there is a balancing emphasis on being of yourself, how this organism of yourself wants to move, to find itself in its movement. In asking how your body wants to move, the emerging movements help you find yourself more fully through each surface you are in contact with, but also help you acknowledge the sense of the space around you by being more fully in yourself. In following the questions of how does it want to go and what are the movements that allow me to find myself within the space of my organism, I find a different sense of self and a different pathway of movement through the space around me that is nurtured by the unfolding moment. Bring yourself back to a still place, What is the sense of yourself now, and how much of the sense of the space around you is able to be there? A lot of the habituated movements we have are addictive in the sense that they don't resolve into anything that's actually helpful for us. They're often our attempts to locate ourselves, perhaps like someone who has autism, making movements that create some kind of order of self internally so that we don't become overwhelmed by the sensory flooding of otherness. To feel how you need to be in your movements within the space around you, you can find and locate yourself within the world as you are experiencing it at any particular moment. The unfolding moment supports you in right relationship with the sensory awareness of the external other. As you begin to move, find the movement that wants to happen, that feels the contact with surfaces, that moves across the floor in a way that helps emphasize the sense of self within the surrounding environment, so that whatever you're doing at any moment has a chance to bring movement into the dance of relationship from self to the surrounding universe, the nature that we are in the dance with, and helps us enter more fully into that dance. Thank you for listening to this episode. If you want to find out more about the Embodiment Project and other offerings from the Somatics Institute, you can find us at somatics.ca. That's somatics.ca. And you'll find lots of writings and other podcasts and, of course, information on the Embodiment Project. Until next time.